Well, this is the Jill Jim Radio Productions down Brettmore Way in San Jose. And today we're going to have a little lesson on the difference between words that people use and what those same words mean in the language of spirit. Now, we've had our little preliminary lesson at home, and today we're going to do some of those words that you studied, plus a few new ones. And the words we'll do probably will be Lord, Shepherd, Green, Pastures, Still, Waters, Soul, Righteousness, Rod, Staff, Table, Cup, and House. We may include a few others as we go along. Now suppose we all take a walk. Take a walk over the hill, down the valley, over another hill, down another valley, and pretty soon we come to a special meadow, a pasture land, and there we see a flock of sheep. And the sheep are rather quiet. Some are just lowering their head and eating the green grass. And there's a little stream there. Some of the sheep have actually gone into the stream and are drinking. And others have come out of the stream, and they are lying beside it. And over on the side is the shepherd. He's a very nice young fellow, and he loves these sheep very much. He would give his life for these sheep. And he's taken these sheep over the hills and the meadows, and they always follow him because they have learned that he knows where the grass is green and the water is good and fresh. And so they follow their shepherd. They know that whenever they follow him, they will never go hungry and they will never go thirsty. Of course, you know how it is with children. Well, it's the same way with sheep. Occasionally there's one or two or three who kind of like to go off by themselves, and they tumble away from the flock. You know what he does then? He sends a sheepdog after them, and the sheepdog nips at their ankles, and sometimes there's a few more try to do that at the same time. And he has a rod with him. He's really carved it out of a birch tree, you know. It's about 3 foot long, maybe a little less. And sometimes he just pats a sheep on the side of the tummy to keep it in line. That's what he uses the rod for. He also has another use for it. When the sheep go home at night to the fold, they have to go back over those hills again. The shepherd gets a little tired, and so he uses that rod, but this time he uses it kind of like a man uses a cane to walk with. An old man, you know, using a cane, he leans on it. Now it's called a staff. When you lean on it, it's a staff. When you use it to keep the sheep in line, it's a rod. Well, so much for our shepherd and his sheep and the pasture and the water and the rod and the staff. Now, let's go to the 23rd Psalm. You'll find it in your Bible. The Psalm is a poem, and it's written to go to music. They used to have an instrument called a lyre, L-Y-R-E. And I guess you can still find them in special music schools. Well, the shepherd would use his lyre, and while the sheep were grazing, sometimes he would sing to himself. And the one who wrote this psalm, the 23rd, his name is David. And so he wrote the psalm to read like this. And he would sing it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's quite a bit more to it, and we'll probably cover it today. But there's a big secret. It means one thing in people's language. Ah, but when you do it in spirit language, it's really quite different, isn't it? So let's look at it both ways. And let's see what Jill and Jim can figure this out to mean a little deeper than most people can, because they really are going to know spirit language. Now, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, the Lord is God, isn't he? The Lord is divine consciousness. Divine consciousness is my shepherd. Well, how could that be? Well, let's see. The sheep follow the shepherd. And I am going to follow my shepherd. I am going to follow divine consciousness. Can you think of anyone better to follow than divine consciousness? And so that's the big secret. The world thinks it means the Lord in the sky is leading me down here. But divine consciousness is within me, and I am also within it. We are in each other. Divine consciousness is in me, and I walk in divine consciousness. And it's not up in the sky only, it's down here too. If it was up in the sky, how could I follow it? I follow divine consciousness right down here where I am. And everywhere I go, divine consciousness goes, because divine consciousness is my real name. So when I meditate, I am listening. And who speaks to me? Who tells me where to go and what to do and how to do it? My own divine consciousness. My own divine consciousness is my shepherd. And what's the next line? I shall not want. Well, want means need. I shall not need anything. And now we know that the reason I shall not need anything is my divine consciousness will furnish all of my needs. And so I listen to my divine consciousness, which is my shepherd within me. Not out there only in the sky, but within me, my inner shepherd. And it knows everything that I need, and so I shall never want. In fact, it's such a smart shepherd, it knows so much that it maketh me lie down in green pastures. Now we know a pasture is where the sheep feed. And so in people's language, a pasture is where you feed. In spirit language, a pasture is where you feed your mind. It's a mental pasture. And so the Lord, my shepherd, within myself, my divine consciousness feeds my mind. And he feeds my mind in a green pasture. Now, in people's language, that just means the color green. But green things grow, don't they? Grass is green and it grows. Well, green in spiritual language means growing. In fact, it means spirit. Green is the word which means spirit. So that he feeds me spirit. My shepherd feeds me spirit. spirit in the pastures within my mind. And so while other people just eat ordinary food, my mind is eating spiritual truth, because my shepherd sees that I receive spiritual truth in the green pastures. And he leadeth me to still waters. Now, if a sheep went out in the water and it wasn't still, he might drown. He couldn't even drink it if it was flowing too fast. But what is water? Again, in people's language, it's something you drink. But just the way your mind eats truth, so does your mind drink truth. Water is truth in spirit language. But there are many kinds of truth, and these are still waters. Now suppose you kneel down and you look down into a little lake, and the lake was very still, and you were kneeling over looking down into it. Well, you would see yourself, wouldn't you? And if the lake is still, you'd see a perfect reflection of your own face and your body. Now we're kneeling down. We're looking into the pool. And as you look down into the pool, you see your own face. And because the water is still, your face is just like it would appear to you if you were looking in a mirror. The water is as smooth as a mirror, and you can see your face perfectly. But now suppose Jill or Jim or somebody else throws a few pebbles in the water and maybe a big stone. And now watch how the water gets excited and begins to ripple. And now you look into the water from above, and when you see your face, it isn't like a perfect mirror anymore. You see your face in the ripples, and it's all mixed up. It isn't perfect because the water is not still. Now, your shepherd leads you to the still waters. Now, let's think about your mind for a minute and make believe it's your mind that he was talking about when he spoke about still waters. Now, what happens when your mind is very excited? You can't think very clearly. Your thoughts are all kind of mixed up and confused because you're all excited. But when you're calm, when you're composed, when your mind is still, you can think very clearly because nobody's throwing pebbles in your mind to mix it up. And so when your shepherd within brings you to still waters, it means that when your shepherd teaches you how to keep your mind still, like when you meditate, then because your mind is still like the waters, your thoughts are clear and full and whole and perfect. And so the thoughts that you receive when your mind is still, these are called the thoughts from the still waters. And the still waters your still mind, when it's very quiet, listening very carefully, receives the thoughts from God. And that is why the next sentence reads, He restoreth my soul. Now, this is a very important word. And when you understand it, it will open many other doors that you can go through so you can explore many other places. And it will also help you know many other things that you're going to have to know as the years come to you. Now, to understand the word soul, I want you to think of a flower. Oh, you could take a rose, or a lily, or a violet, or a geranium, any kind of flower you like. Pick a nice, beautiful flower in full bloom, and make believe you're looking at it, a perfect flower. And it's growing, too. It's growing right out of the ground. And now you've got to see that the reason it's growing out of the ground is because in the ground is a seed. And without that seed in the ground, we wouldn't have a flower above the ground. Now, you can't see the seed when it's in the ground. All you can see is a flower that comes up and blooms and smells so sweetly. But that seed, even though it's invisible, you know it's there. Now I want you to think about your soul. And think of yourself as if your conceptual body is a flower. There it is, it's growing just like a flower. What's making it grow? Because invisibly, you have a seed. And you're growing right out of that seed, just like the flower is. But your seed, the seed that is making you grow, is your soul. And you can't see that soul, and you don't know where it is. As a matter of fact, your soul not only is invisible, but your soul existed before you had a conceptual body. And out of your conceptual body came the idea that produced your conceptual body. And that soul of yours, which existed before you became a little boy or a little girl, well, you just forgot about it. You don't remember anything about it at all. And you've been growing up, and now you're learning that the reason you have a conceptual body here is because invisibly, just like the flower has a seed that nobody can see under the ground, your conceptual body has an invisible seed, and that seed isn't under the ground. That seed is your soul, and it's all over this universe. It's so big that it's as big as the universe. That's how big your soul is. It's infinite. And you forgot about that soul when you were growing up from a little baby to a 6-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl. But the soul didn't forget about you because the soul is your higher self. And you see your shepherd. Your shepherd knows all about it. And so your shepherd led you first to the green pastures so you could be fed spiritual food. And then it led you to the still waters so that your mind being still, your shepherd could lead you directly to your own true self. Your soul. You lost it because you forgot it existed, but he restoreth your soul. And now here you are, and the world sees you in a conceptual body, but really the seed from which your body is growing is your soul and your divine consciousness is feeding your soul, and your soul is feeding your mind, and your mind is feeding your body, all because you know how to meditate, to be quiet, and to listen, so that your soul can receive from your divine consciousness the truth. And then your soul becomes like a mirror for your divine consciousness, and your divine consciousness looks into your soul and sees itself there, just like when you look into the water. And so your soul receives the perfect idea from your divine consciousness and passes that perfect idea into this world as your perfect conceptual body. Now you're going to have to listen to this quite a few times and talk it over between yourselves, because then you'll get some ideas of your own and you'll begin to feel this inside. And that's when it's important. When you feel it deep down inside and you can say, I am divine consciousness. I am God. And God moves through my soul, which is my invisible seed. And in my soul is everything that I am, just like in the seed of a flower. And then when my mind is still, my soul, which contains everything that my divine consciousness put in it, feeds that to my quiet mind. And so I receive the still waters, the truth. That which is perfect comes through my quiet mind, and out here, my conceptual body is guided, taught, and receives the truth from inside. And I can always depend on this, because now that the shepherd within me has restored my soul, I can always meditate and let my soul speak to me, teach me, lead me, guide me, show me, educate me. My soul will be my best friend, just like my daddy's soul is doing for him and my mother's soul is doing for her. Their soul is teaching them, as my soul is teaching me. And that's why when we listen in meditation to our soul, we can never make any real mistakes. It will give us the answers from divine consciousness, and there's nothing higher. It will teach us how to love everybody in this world, how to share with them, how to look at them if they do something wrong and forgive them. It will teach us that we must be true to our soul and always let the soul be the boss, so that we out here in our conceptual bodies, we listen to the soul and we say to it, thy will be done. You tell me and I will do it out here. I will be the hands for my own soul. I will be the legs for my own soul. I will do everything that my soul tells me to do. And in time, when I look out at other people and I see that they're all mixed up and confused, I will know it's because they do not know how to listen to their soul like I do. And maybe someday, if they ask me, and only if they ask me, I'll be willing to show them how. But until then, I'm going to keep it secret inside me, because you can't tell them about it if they're not ready. That wouldn't be very good. If they're not ready, you wouldn't want to spoil things for them. It's only when they're really ready and they really are ready to know, then you might say, well, if you really want to know, I would like to help you and show you. But until then, I will be quiet and listen to my soul and let it tell me whenever it wants me to tell this to someone else. And so now we have come to a pretty important place in our study. We are learning the great and wonderful secret that just as a flower has a seed which feeds the flower, I have a soul which feeds me. And it feeds me the things of God, the beautiful, wonderful things. And when I trust my soul, it will never let me come to any harm. It will never let me be hurt. All I need do is remember my soul is always here in the invisible and always ready to teach me the truth and the beauty of life. And so I keep meditating and listening, and I say, thank you, soul. Thank you, Divine Consciousness, for being here in the invisible so that I can always turn to you and depend on you to teach me the way to do things. Thank you.
Well, let's see what we've done so far. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Ah, now we have a new word here. Righteousness.
Now, I suppose you know what righteousness is in people's language. If you're truthful, if you're honest, if you're fair, if you're kind, if you're friendly, this is human righteousness. If you do the right thing, people say you're righteous. Now, that's people's language. What we're interested in, what it means in spirit language, we're interested in the deeper meaning, because here David, who wrote these words, was revealing to us that God within him had given him a new meaning about righteousness. And he wanted us to know that real higher meaning, which most people in the world do not know, because they are not listening to their inner shepherd as we are. Now let's see what it means. He leadeth me. Now the he is the inner shepherd, the divine consciousness. And so while people think that they are being righteous because they are kind and good and honorable, they still are not listening to the inner shepherd, so that's not enough. For to be righteous spiritually, we must let the inner Noah guide us into a new path of righteousness, a spiritual path, and nobody knows the way except divine consciousness within us. So this is a different kind of righteousness. Now suppose you made up your human mind to do something a certain way. That wouldn't be God's way, would it? That would be a human way. But when your inner shepherd says, this way is the way I want it done, that is the righteous way. Whatever comes from the inner and teaches us within, so that nobody outside hears this inner self, that is the righteous way. Now, for instance, you are sitting down to learn how to play the organ. And your teacher tells you what to do. Where to put your fingers, where to put your feet. And you become pretty good at doing it that way. But now let's take another boy who knows how to do it the teacher's way, but also knows how to meditate. And he learns how to listen inside himself for the music. He listens into his inner being, and then he begins to play that organ with more understanding. Not just like a machine, but with a sense of love. Not just an exercise anymore, but he understands not only the organ, but the music. He has a feeling for it. And that's because his real consciousness, his inner shepherd, takes him one step further than just normal people. You begin to see what righteousness is? And so, when you start to look out into the world around you, and start to think about, what am I going to do as I grow up? If you were just people, you would try to make up your own mind. And then people who do that often make a big mistake, because they can only see tomorrow, but they can't see 500 tomorrows ahead. They can't see as far ahead as the inner shepherd. And so they do what they think is righteous, and it turns out it's wrong. But you, listening to the divine consciousness within, you're going to find that it is going to lead you into the right path in all things. And so that God within you, being your inner consciousness, if you listen there, when the time is right, you will be led in the path of righteousness. And that is the meaning of, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake means according to his perfect plan. And so now, righteousness in his name's sake means that the things I am doing are according to the perfect plan, according to the divine will. And that's higher than just good deeds. That's seeing what no human eyes can see. That's faith. That's trust. That's knowing that my inner consciousness can see ahead for a million tomorrows. And if my inner consciousness tells me what to do, that will always be the righteous thing for me to do. And so you've got to think about that. You'll find that as long as you are not following the will of your human mind, but are letting the inner shepherd be your mind, that everything you do will be righteous. Everything. For he always leadeth you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now the next sentence is the result of your walking in the path of divine consciousness or righteousness. Because it says now, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now that's people talk. And everybody's afraid of that. Just like they're afraid of sickness or a cold or a headache. But really, is there any sickness? Is there anything that we should fear if we are the divine consciousness? And what is this valley of the shadow of death? That's a false concept too, isn't it? Who can die in divine consciousness? Divine consciousness is life. We don't know anything about a silly thing called death. That's for people who don't know the truth. People who don't listen inside. They can't find the righteous way. And so they come to a place where they think people die. We know better. And so I can walk even where everybody seems to be fearing death, but I know there is no such thing. And so I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, it isn't even real, it's just a shadow. But I fear no evil. How can I fear evil when it isn't real? All that is real is divine consciousness and its perfect ideas, its righteous ideas, its righteous activities. I'm not walking where there are shadows. I'm walking in the real spiritual universe. And even though out here I see the forms, they're just pictures. Even the evil forms are just pictures. And so I can smile and I say, I do not fear pictures. I do not fear forms. Behind the forms is the truth. The reality, the invisible, that which the eye cannot see is standing there, and it is good. That's why my shepherd led me this way. Wherever I go, 24 hours a day, wherever I am in the goodness of righteous spirit. I fear no evil. And I fear no evil for thou art with me. Divine consciousness, thou art with me. How can I fear? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, truth. Spirit, protection, they comfort me. Wherever I go, my consciousness is always with me, and my consciousness knows the truth. My consciousness is righteousness. My consciousness is perfection. My consciousness is goodness in all things. My consciousness is harmony and peace and grace. My consciousness is a perfect shepherd. And you remember the rod. You remember how the shepherd used the rod to keep the sheep in line? That was a physical rod. Now we have the spiritual language meaning of a physical rod. The physical rod was people's talk. And the shepherd would pat the tummy of the sheep. Ah, but this is a spiritual meaning now. You can't see this rod, but it keeps me. Just as it kept the sheep in line, it keeps me in line. For this is the rod of truth. And this rod of truth in my consciousness prevents me from getting lost like sheep or taking the wrong path. And then there's the staff. You remember the staff? The shepherd used it to sit on when he was tired, to hold himself up, to support himself. Well, my shepherd's staff, in spirit language, is what I use to hold me up. I rest inside my own being in spirit. Spirit becomes my staff. It supports me just like the shepherd is supported by his staff of wood. And so I have the rod of truth within me and the staff of spirit within me. And like it says here in the poem, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of truth, the staff of spirit, they comfort me. That's the truth and the spirit from within my own being. And this is the real food. This is the spiritual food. It leads me, it guides me, protects me, teaches me, opens my eyes in such a special way that I can see the real beautiful universe around me. I can see the life that is here without any ending to it, without any sickness to it. Instead of the silly false pictures that other people see, because they have no rod of truth, and they have no staff of spirit. They have, but they don't know they have it. And so they're not comforted like I am. But I, knowing these things, I am never disturbed by what appears outside, because I know that truth and spirit are within me. And they are real, and they are good forever. And anything that appears out there bad, my rod and my staff of truth and spirit in my consciousness will change those bad things and make them appear good. If I will quietly turn within, silently know the truth inside my consciousness, and let my rod of truth and my staff of spirit open my inner eye with knowledge so that I can see inside what a really wonderful universe and perfect universe this really is. Maybe you want to rest here, but if you do, you can come back to the next portion later. Here's another line. Thou preparest a table before me in the midst of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, not the midst, in the presence of mine enemies. Now, who are my enemies? That's right, I have none. Oh, if I believed everything I saw outside there, I might think that I had a few enemies. But I know better than that. What is an enemy? It is a concept. How can a concept hurt me? A concept can never have any power. You take somebody who's sick, you know that's a concept. You take somebody who's angry, that's a concept too. And so if there's somebody out there who's angry or jealous or greedy, they're only concepts. So the people out there can never be my enemies. And anyway, I have a wonderful secret. Thou, my inner shepherd, my divine consciousness, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, what is that table? Well, you eat off a table, don't you? That's where the food is, right on the table. This table you can't see, and you can't see the food either. But your consciousness says, put a table out there, an invisible table with invisible food. And it's always right there. Even though the human eye looks out and sees enemies, there is true food. Invisible food on an invisible table, and that's truth again. Right on that table that you cannot see with your human eyes, there is your rod of truth and your staff of spirit. And when you look out from your consciousness, you will find that they are there. And then you will say, well, my enemies are only concepts without power. And so they're no longer my enemies at all. I have no need to fear them. For the minute I know that all of the power is on my invisible table, in my invisible consciousness, then I can smile. I can smile at all the people and things and the conditions that seem unfriendly, and I can know that they never could have power over me because I have an invisible consciousness of truth. That's my table, my invisible consciousness of truth. Here's another good line. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know what oil is. You put it on a wheel when it squeaks. That's spirit talk. I mean, that's people's talk again. But this kind of oil, oh, it's a special spiritual oil. It means light, divine light, divine understanding. That's what oil is spiritually. When you receive inner light, you're receiving oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. You see, other people think through their brains with human ideas. But through you comes light, oil. And that's why the word anointest is there. To anoint is to moisten or apply something wet to something else. But when you anoint in spiritual language, it's usually because God within, a very sacred moment when God within brings you the real secret truth. And that secret truth being presented inside you is called the anointing. There's a little more meaning to it. For instance, when you receive the truth of the Christ and you are told from within that you are the child of God, you are being anointed, chosen, very specially chosen. When this happens to you, when it is said that your inner knower anointeth your head with oil, you are living in a different world than the people around you. They are moving in a world of concept, and you are living in the real, invisible universe. You are living in the kingdom of God. And that is why we're here on this earth, to find out how to do just that. Now, my inner knower has led me through the green fields, the green pastures. He has restored my soul. He has anointed my head with oil. He has removed all fear within me. He has shown me paths of righteousness. All because I am listening within. And so the next line is the result of that. My cup runneth over. My cup, you see, in people's language, is just a cup that you pour hot cocoa in, or milk, or coffee. It's a container for a liquid. My cup in spiritual language is my life. This particular lifetime is my cup, and it runneth over with good things, spiritual things, because my consciousness is pouring all of the good things of life into this lifetime, into this cup. So my life is full, overflowing. I have a wonderful sister, a wonderful brother, a wonderful father, a wonderful mother, many wonderful friends. And this is all true because I do not believe in material concepts. I live in a spiritual consciousness.